Theoretically, I'm just positing this, I don't know. Theoretically, one would think that then at that time that Trump might have been in contact with Brett Kavanaugh. He hadn't been confirmed. He had gone through most of the process, but remember, the blah-da-blah-da-blahzy Ford monkey wrench wouldn't actually get played completely until that infamous, disgusting, diabolical hearing where she went in and testified in early October of 2018. So it's very conceivable at the time that Trump would have been having some kind of communication with Judge Kavanaugh. After all, he had not been confirmed. The confirmation process was ongoing. There was the threat hanging of this testimony from this, again, this liar, this diabolical liar, was put up to this by the Democrat Party in the deep state. And if he had just written this executive order and declared a national emergency on the fact that a foreign entity was going to or had attacked us or was going to attack the United States upcoming election, would it seem out of place that maybe, if he hadn't previously axed him, that maybe Trump might have axed Judge Kavanaugh? Hey, man, after I get you confirmed, after I get you on the bench, I just put an executive order out that could have something to do with the 2020 election. Can I rely on you if I need to go to the SCOTUS that you'll take my case? Same question for Amy Coney Barrett. There's no way you can convince me that the pragmatic, successful businessman, entrepreneur, Donald Trump, did not ask ACB that question prior to him nominating her. Because he had to know. He did know. He knew all about the mail-in ballot fraud. He'd been squawking about it since April. Why wouldn't he have asked the question? And if he did ask the question, then that begs, did they say no? And Trump just went ahead and went, all right, I'm going to go ahead and put you on there anyway, because you're the best qualified. I think you're going to do a fine job. You're going to be a wonderful jurist, Judge Barrett. Did he ask the question of Kavanaugh? In both instances, he would have been totally justified to have axed both of those potential Supreme Court justices. Whether they would be reliable or however he might have put it. What do you think the odds are that he didn't ask the question or ask some kind of question? I think I put the odds near
0.0.
So then who got to him? I mean, the SCOTUS didn't just smack Texas down. It mocked Texas. Mocked you. You don't have standing, and neither do you, President Trump. And I'm going, like, for all the nanya-nanya boo-boo blue checkers and never Trumpers on Twitter yesterday on Sunday or on Saturday and yesterday, I'm going, like, okay, so explain this to me then, Brian McClanahan, among others. How does Planned Parenthood have standing to sue here in Louisiana and stop our duly passed and duly ratified laws against abortion? You mean to tell me an entity that is headquartered in another state, actually it's headquartered in London, has standing to bring about an end to human life and sue my state of Louisiana, which it's done three times successfully, and all three times it had to be granted standing? How does Planned Parenthood get standing and Trump doesn't? How does Planned Parenthood get standing and Texas doesn't? And neither does Louisiana and the other 15 states. As the president showed in his tweet on Friday evening, early Saturday morning about this, Trump's no constitutional dummy. He even said, Constitution is clear that this case has to be heard in front of the Supreme Court. How in the hell could they kick it out? Silent were the seven, other than no. Justice Alito, who was seconded basically by Justice Thomas, said, I would have voted to take the case, but I have no opinion on the matter. I have nothing to say about it. That says to me, basically, that's kind of a, I think we ought to hear it. I think the suit is just. I don't have an opinion on it. Now, you would say that because you're a judge, and you're supposed to remain neutral until you hear all the facts of the case. So I don't think that's people are out there going like, well, Alito said he didn't have an opinion on it. Means he thought it was stupid. Maybe he's just trying to remain neutral. You know, he is kind of a judge. Wouldn't neutral kind of make a sound? Wouldn't trying to remain neutral make it kind of sound like, maybe that case comes here and I can't have a bias because I don't want someone to be haranguing me and asking me to recuse myself. Sounds perfectly reasoned to me. Mike Church Show here on a Monday on the Crusade Channel, always on air and always online, crusadechannel.com. That then resulted in an avalanche of deep state, deep media industrial complex demands for Trump to throw the towel in and concede. This is the Wall Street Journal headline from the Wall Street Journal editorial department. This yesterday morning, Trump's challenge is over. The Electoral College meets Monday to cast its votes for president, officially marking Biden as the election winner. Trump's legal challenges have run their course, and he and the rest of the Republican Party can help the country and themselves by acknowledging the result and moving on. No way. He's not going to do it. By the by, the Electoral College should be prevented from its meeting today. That ought to come from Pelosi, from the Shrieker of the House. If they're truly after justice and fair elections and whatnot, then because there are still lawsuits and there are going to be more fraud lawsuits now. Boy, I got to tell you, I watched this part of this hearing with this Wisconsin judge on Friday. If I'd have had something heavy in my hand, there'd be a broken TV up there because I'd have thrown it at it. This judge going, well, there, looks to me here, there, like we obeyed all the election laws there that the Wisconsin legislature there had put in, and there was no disobedience of no election law there except the quarantine to stay home there, election, you know, there. This judge actually said that he could divine the intent of 30,000 people who supposedly claimed that they could not go out to vote because they, I forget what the term is, but basically they were supposedly afraid of the corona hoax. And so they had to claim the status that you can claim in Wisconsin. Now, read up on that law. That law is 30 years old. What was it put in there for in the early 1990s? Why did they put that law in there? They put that law in there for people that were hospice bound and were actually bedridden and in ICUs, but had cognitive facilities that go like, yeah, there's no way I'm leaving the hospital bed or the hospital or whatever, but I would still like to vote. Fewer than 2,000 people, I believe is the number, fewer than 2,000 people prior to 2020 per year or per election had ever used this stupid law. But this judge is up there waxing on about, yeah, there, I trusted the 30,000 people there that claimed the shut-in status there, terrified of the corona hoax virus from this 30-year-old law there, were totally justified in their homeward bound or locked up in their hospice bound houses there. Without any witness, and by the by, you're in order to claim the status and then file to vote remotely like that, you basically have to swear an affidavit out, and then you send it to the Wisconsin Secretary of State. That's how I understand the law. And then they will send you a certified and totally secure absentee ballot back in the mail. You fill the ballot out, and you can either mail it back or you can have someone drop it off at an election facility. That's after it had been witnessed and all that. You know that in those 30,000 votes, no one knows if any of those validations occurred. They wouldn't let Trump campaign see the 30,000 ballots. But the judge was certain. He was certain. Yeah, there. We had the greatest, most secure election ever in the history there. And the plaintiff's a bunch of idiots. He's Trump, and I hated his TV show there. So I'm ruling for our state there. I'm just talk about railroaded. I was actually glad that they cut away from it because I was, as I said, I was about ready to throw a heavy object at the television. So this now marks every judge in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. Every single judge. There's not one that will hear any case brought by Trump or any of his acolytes based on the merits of what is clear and obvious to a watching world that there's an attempt to steal an election and there's massive, massive fraud going on here. Now, the fraud hasn't been attempted. The fraud has been successful. They got away with it. So people are misunderstanding about this. They actually got away with it or are getting away with it. The Wall Street Journal, Trump's last legal gasp, came Friday evening when the SCOTUS declined to hear the Texas lawsuit seeking to overturn the election results. They weren't seeking to overturn the election results. They were seeking to overturn the illegal ballots, ma'am. What is so funny, Mrs. O'Connell? Let me in on the joke. As we predicted, the court cited Texas's lack of legal standing to challenge how another state manages its elections. That's funny. There's a tweet in the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat. I'm sitting here in the dark in my toddler's room because the light is controlled by @Google Home. Rethinking a lot right now. Six. This is a technical point that concerns the court's case management, and the two justices have a long-time view that the court should hear more of these direct state appeals. We happen to agree, but in this case, the Texas claim was outside constitutional bounds. Justice Alito added that he would not grant any other relief. Again, he was remaining neutral. I don't read anything into that whatsoever. This was not a dissent on the merits of the Texas claim. Trump and his camp are now attacking the court, and the president is deriding the standing point as a dodge. It is much more than that. Limits on standing are fundamental to a conservative understanding of the proper judicial role under Article 3 of the Constitution. I'm going to say this again. If standing is so important, please explain to me again how and why Planned Parenthood International has standing to sue the state of Louisiana, and they also sued Planned Parenthood versus Texas, right? They also sued Texas 2 years ago, and in the same court, won. How do they have standing to sue to guarantee the continuance of the murder of the soon-to-be-born? Please explain that standing to me, and then explain to me how the state of Texas doesn't have a constitutional angle to go like, we abided by all the rules and regulations that are contained in the U.S. Constitution to conduct our election, and we finished on the night of. These A-clowns didn't and are still out there flaunting it. And now the state of Georgia is promising to double down and it's going to have drive-in and walk-up mail-in ballot boxes, like 700 of them spread throughout Atlanta and Fulton County. And they're not going to change any of the laws, rules. They're not going to go back to the way they did it before the corona hoax and before the consent decree with the Democrats. The state Republican Party is just asking to be kicked out of power. Asking. Then we have this. This is huge. Huge. Definitely huge. Really huge. This is from the Republican Party of Texas.